fellow came to our church not long ago, and this is what he said. He said, "I've always had my idea of what I thought a church ought to be." And he said, "I feel like Simeon of old, who picked up the Christ child and said, 'Now mine eyes have seen, let thy servant depart in peace.'" And he said, "I feel the same way." He said, "I've always felt like there ought to be somewhere a church like First Baptist Church of Hammond." And he said, "I found it. I'm ready to depart in peace." I said, "Man, don't leave now. We need the tithe." And there's something wonderful. I'm going to talk tonight on the subject of unity of the Spirit. There's something wonderful happening in America. Oh, I don't mean in this message tonight just the great churches, but that is exciting. Man, listen, that stirs me. When I think what happened just today across America, that moves my old heart, I'll tell you. But there's something else wonderful happening in America most folks don't know about. Fundamentalists, I think, are growing up a little bit. I have a hard time saying this without tears, because I'm not responsible for it, but I've sure prayed and worked at it a long time. Fundamental schools are helping each other and not fighting each other. I mean, it's almost unheard of in the history of fundamentalism in America. And you stop and realize that we who work the same field are rejoicing when others pluck fruit from our own field. And schools are learning to realize we're on the same team. And America's our parish. I'll not say tonight the things that we've tried to do, but we, in a real sense, at First Baptist, have tried to carry the load of all the churches. Paul said that God had given him the care of all the churches. And I do not think that I have it like Paul did, but I think that God has given me just a little bit of a taste of that. I in a sense, have a somewhat the care of all the churches. Brother Bill Harvey made the statement. He said, God has given to Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. John Rice, almost an apostolic ministry. And what he said meant with that was that we sort of go around the country trying to help the churches. And if they have problems, they come to us and they call us and they ask our help and advice. And not just us, but there are others the same way. But it's wonderful. The Liberty Baptist College, Dr. Jerry Falwell's school, heard about our need here and took an offering and sent us a check for $4,000. And isn't that wonderful? And isn't it nice that we feel cozy about each other? And I can recall when schools got together, there was a rivalry. And sometimes almost an animosity. Not so anymore. There's something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful happening in this country. Same thing is happening among fundamental churches. You know, fundamental churches in the same area are pulling for each other. That's the way it ought to be. You know, when our friends over here at Dyer have a big day, we ought to rejoice in it and thank God for it. Of course, it's only fair to say I saw one of their buses going down Sibley Street the other day. And bless God, I wish we had every church in this area getting these folks on Sibley Street we can't reach. But we ought to thank God when our friends over here crossed the line, Oak Forest Baptist Temple. My, they had over 2,200 Sunday school on a big day the other day. And Bill Schroeder wrote me a letter and said, first they sent me a form letter, then wrote me a personal letter. So I had to let you know, the personal letter, Dr. Hiles, what your church and your ministry has meant to me. And how wonderful. And then Roger Bolton over here a few miles this way, sending buses into Gary now. I'll get him if it's the last thing I do. And but the other day, over 2,200 in Sunday school today. And there's a sweet spirit about it. And you know, I go around the country and people often say, I'd sure hate to pastor close to Hiles. I'll tell you, my, I'd hate to pastor there. And these brethren go around the country refuting that argument. The other day I heard of a place where Bill Schroeder was preaching, and somebody said, bet you don't like to be close to Hiles. Pretty hard, isn't it? Bill Schroeder said, no. He said, it's easy. He said, he makes it easy because he loves us and he's for us. And somebody, Friday night, said, did you know Roger Voteman, all across the country, brags on First Baptist Church of Hammond? Ah, listen, no wonder how the psalmist said, how sweet and how blessed it is when God's people dwell together in unity. I believe some of the sweet spirit that flavors our church here is overflowing a little bit. And I think that others are trying to promote the same thing we try to promote. Preachers are coming to each other's help. And preachers are sitting together who never used to even speak to each other. And fundamental preachers, I think, are growing up. It's not always been so. Historically, fundamentalists have become so accustomed to fighting that when the battle is over against the enemy, we shoot the remaining arrows in our quiver at each other until the quiver is empty. We are like the engine that runs after the ignition has been cut off. We're so used to fighting, when the battle's over, we're disappointed. And so we just turn and fight each other. It has not always been like it is now. Martin Luther and John Calvin were contemporaries. Luther is brave and bold, and Calvin was logical and precise. Luther one time got mad, and by the way, I'm not criticizing Luther for that same kind of thing that they can get mad at Calvin. It's what made him the great preacher he was. But one time, Luther said about Calvin, said he's a pig and a devil. Well, in my opinion, the way I feel about pork, that's synonymous terms. But anyway, he's a pig and a devil. And Calvin replied and said, Luther may call me what he will, but I will always call him a dear servant of Christ. That's the way I want our church to be. Ah, yes, we have the arrows and the darts shot at us. Let's don't pick them up and throw them back. Ah, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. As I've said before, I'd sooner go out and be principal of the high school tomorrow, or sooner go out and teach Greek at the college tomorrow, or sooner go out, sooner lead the choir next Sunday morning than I would to seek revenge and vengeance, because just as Mr. Boardway is in charge of the choir, Dr. Billings is principal of the high school, and Mr. Jorgensen teaches trigonometry and algebra and all that, whatever junkie. I mean, that wonderful stuff is. At the college, even so, vengeance is the Lord's, not mine. I have no business doing God's work. That's one of his ministries and not mine. I'll be intruding upon his rights and his property and his work if I seek vengeance. And I think one of the influences causing this is the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Folks have come from the north, they've come from the east, they've come from the south, they've come from the west to our pastor school. And they've come with skeptic minds, and they've come with sharp, critical tongues, and they've sat here. And do you know, blessed be God, by the time the Monday night service is over, and they see the church with a heart, their hearts are melted, and many of our critics are now our friends, and those who are going to criticize are using those same critical tongues with which to praise the Lord, and those who are going to shoot their fire darts at us go home to shoot their fire darts at the devil, and those who are going to fight us go home to fight sin, and they go home from this place seeing that we love each other, singing love is the theme, love is supreme, sweeter it grows, glory bestows, and bright is the sun, ever it grows. Love is the theme, eternal theme. And that's what I want us to do. I want our church, and by the way, in these days of crisis in our church, in these days when we're trying to raise the money for Hiles Anderson College, and it just seems like every time we see a door open, the time I run to the door is shut in my face. And the devil hates our college and hates our church and wants to destroy it. And so he's taken every weapon he's got in his arsenal and pointed it our way in the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. And it seems like almost to the dawn of every day, we find some tragic attack the devil's made on our church, and yet tonight here we sit, and you wouldn't think we're having any trouble at all.
Then you hear the amen and the glories and the hallelujahs and praise the Lord's and feel the oneness of spirit here in our church. And say something tonight, brother. The devil never can defeat a church from without. Never can. Never can. There's not a weapon in Satan's arsenal that can destroy First Baptist Church from without. But he can destroy it from within. And that's why if we can keep the sweetness of sweet unity and the sweetness of love and grace and unselfishness and compassion toward each other, nothing, all the devils in hell can't destroy what's going on around here.
Amen.
And by the way, well, we might be one in the Lord. I'm going to advance to you tonight some reasons. Not new, they're old. Not fresh, but ever fresh. And not recent, but ever sweet. Why we ought to have the unity of the Spirit. We ought to have the unity of the Spirit in the first place because we have the same past. We have the same past. I mean, all of us once felt the sting of sin. All of us, we all once felt the emptiness of Satan's fullness. All of us, we all once felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And all of us had someone to come and tell us the best news we ever heard in our lives, that God loves us and Christ died for sinners, and by faith we can have eternal life. We all have the same past, and all of us have turned to Jesus, those of us who are saved, and have felt that wonderful, wonderful cleansing, forgiveness of sin. And we wanted to shout, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea, oh, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Bless God that my sins are gone. We've all felt that. We've all felt the joy of forgiveness. And like two ladies who have recently had gallbladder surgery, we should be one and enjoy fellowship with each other. We have the same past. We have the same deliverance. We have the same forgiveness. We're washed in the same blood. We're saved with the same Savior. We've been convicted with the same Holy Spirit. We have the same past. And, you know, those folks who have the same past like to get together. I have no greater thrill outside the Lord than to see a Texas license plate. Ah, the beauty of a Texas license plate. And the beauty of that word, T-E-X-A-S, sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest license ever brung, Texas. And you've heard me tell about it. I was down in Houston, Texas. To me, Houston's not Texas. I don't know why. But because it's too far down south. Houston's sort of Louisiana, but anything north of Austin is Texas to me. But anyway, and by the way, you Oklahoma people, don't get so cocky. Every player that won the game for you was from North Texas, and you know it's the truth. But anyway, I was down in Houston, and I forgot I was in Texas. Every time I see a Texas license, boy, I wave and wave and honk. I rented a car there at the airport in Houston and was driving down out of the airport and saw a Texas license. Hey, boy, I pulled. Hey! I hollered and honked and honked, and the guy pulled over the side of the road. Hey, so what part of Texas you from? He said, right here in Houston. Oh, my soul, I was in Texas and didn't even know about it. You know why? Because when I see a Texan in somewhere else in the country, we love to talk about the Alamo and sing, oh, the beautiful, beautiful Texans, where the beautiful blue bonnets grow. We're proud of our forefathers who fought at the Alamo, and the other great hymns of the faith. And there's something about it, and there's something about the past that all of us have. Why should any of us criticize each other when all of us have the same past and the same Holy Spirit lives in our bodies? And the same salvation beats in our breast, the unity of the Spirit. Why? Because we have the same past. I love to see a paratrooper. I'm an ex-paratrooper, and I love to see a paratrooper. When I see those wings and those boots and that insignia, the 82nd Airborne Division or the 101st, glory to God. And when I see that, there's something of a man. There's a certain kindred spirit that binds every old ex-paratrooper. Brother Vineyard is an ex-paratrooper. I'm an ex-paratrooper. I wouldn't love him except for that. It's the only good thing I know about him. And, but I'm saying, why shouldn't all of us love each other? And why shouldn't all preachers that have been born again love each other? And why should we sit in judgment like a bunch of judges on the bench or critics? Why should we? You have a forked tongue like a serpentine attacker. But all of us have been delivered from the same sin and the same hell and are marching to the same Zion. There ought to be a unity of the Spirit. And let me say again, tonight, our church, I long for us, especially in these crisis days, to keep the oneness that we enjoy tonight. I want you to feel when you see Brother Helton walking out on the platform, I want you to say, God bless that good man. He's one of our men, and he's executive vice president of our college. This morning I tried to play a trick on him, but the other fellows wouldn't cooperate. One time, he goes first, back in the old building. One time we all got together and said, let's let him march out by himself. And so Helton came walking out the door. We all stayed back by himself, and he got halfway out and looked out, didn't know whether to proceed or retreat. But when he comes out, you ought to say, that's Brother Helton, and I love him, and he's God's good man. And Brother Fisk comes out, you ought to say, God bless him. I love that fella. Gonna have to go through the tribulation period. And I love, Brother, think of all the prospects you'll have. But I love that fella. God bless him. And then when Dr. Billings comes out, you ought to say, bless his heart. He's founded our schools and built schools for our kids, and Brother Boardway and all these good men, Brother Evans and Brother Colston and Brother Vineyard, all who carry great heavy loads and do a wonderful work for God. And when I walk out here, I ought to look at you and I ought to say, bless God, those are my people and I love them and God knows I do. And there ought to be a sweetness of spirit. May it ever be that folks that come to First Baptist Church of Hammond don't go away and say, they just criticize. No, let's don't do it. Let others shoot at us. Let's not shoot at others. Let others shoot their venom at us. Let's never return their venom. Let others criticize us. Let's never sit in judgment. Let others make their own seat of the scornful. Let's have no such seats at First Baptist Church of Hammond. Let's keep the unity of the Spirit. And if we'll keep a oneness and a love and a kindness with each other, all the devils in hell can attack us from the outside and win the victory. But the second reason we ought to have unity of the Spirit, and that is we have the same enemy. The same one that seeks to destroy your children seeks to destroy my children. The same one that like to make a harlot out of your daughter would like to make harlots out of our daughters. Same one that like to make a drunkard out of your son would like to make a drunkard out of my son. The same one that like to wreck your life and ruin your testimony. That same one has his weapons pointed toward me and toward mine and would like to destroy everything that's holy and right and good. And because we have the same enemy. Good night. If you've got anything bad to say, don't say it about some Bible-believing preacher or Christian. Say it about the devil. Say it about good night. I mean, if you've got anything bad to say, sit in the seat of the scornful. Criticize the devil. Talk about how terrible he is. Call him a dirty liar and a thief and a rotten devil. And call him all the names you can think of, but don't reserve them for God's people trying to go to heaven and are going to heaven on their way and trying to bear their burdens and toils. Nobody who's a child of God needs my criticism, and everybody needs my encouragement and my prayers. The same one seeks to ruin your joy and wreck your health. I recall one time down in Texas. In my neighborhood, I was not a very popular person. I've never known real popularity in my neighborhood. I have no idea why. A nice guy like me. But I had three or four folks in the neighborhood wouldn't even speak to me. I'd always speak to them. They wouldn't speak to me. I'd see them on the street, and I'd say good morning, and they'd turn the other way. But we had a scare in our neighborhood. There was a criminal that had escaped a prison in Huntsville. Two criminals escaped a prison in Huntsville, Texas. And they came, one was supposed to be in our neighborhood. And then somebody in the neighborhood decided all of us ought to get together and we ought to do what we could to protect our families and protect our own. We got together and we had a meeting. And somebody said, Reverend Hiles, what do you think about it? They'd never spoken to me before. And many of them had never even looked at me except with contempt. But all of a sudden, somebody was about to... It was in our neighborhood, we thought, that had animosity. And we were afraid for the lives of our families and our children and our home. And all of a sudden, there was a friendliness and a cooperation and working together. Why in the world can't we stop to realize the same devil that's after one of us is after all of us? The same devil that seeks to destroy our church is seeking to destroy the Dyer Church and the Calvary Church in Highland and the Central Church in East Chicago and the Chesterton Fairhaven Church and the Oak Forest Baptist Temple and the church our folks up here were visiting. That the same devil's after all of us.
in God's dear name. Let's quit shooting at each other, and let's join hands and fight the devil, the one who's the enemy of our souls. The careless words we say, and all the hurt and harm they bring. The other night, other morning, as you know, we had a tragic thing happen in our church. Tragic for us, very wonderful for Jim Salee, but very tragic for us. Our phone rang, and Dr. Hilton, with a quivering voice, said, "Brother Hiles, Jim Salee was killed in a car wreck." And I stood and held the phone, was speechless, and tears filled my eyes. And you know what happened? I'm not criticizing anybody, but somebody was just a little careless, that's all. If someone had looked coming over that hill, maybe his life could have been spared. Or if someone had just been a little more careful and watched more carefully and driven a little slower, maybe his life could have been spared. Maybe a careless moment, maybe a careless looking the wrong way took the life of our brother. Just the other day, as I mentioned this morning, one of our little bus girls, God bless her, how old was she with the vineyard? 8 years of age. And through no fault of our driver, no fault of our captain, she got off the bus, and the car, as she was crossing the street, a car came from the rear by the bus, and the little girl was hit, and she was in a coma for a couple of weeks, and she went to heaven. Was she saved here? Oh, isn't that sweet? Saved the day she was hit. Blessed be God. And just a little more care, and she could still be alive. Just somebody who didn't stop to realize maybe that they're supposed to stop for a bus. And the bus wasn't yellow like a school bus. If it had been a school bus, maybe they'd have thought that maybe they'd cut different color or something or a different day. Maybe on a Friday, they'd stop a Friday or Thursday or Wednesday or Monday or Tuesday. They'd stop for the same bus. But it's Sunday. You don't have school buses on Sunday. And maybe just a little carelessness calls that little girl to have her whole life taken away from her and be flung out into eternity at the tender age of 8. And I wonder how many careless words. You didn't mean to say it, but it ruined somebody's life. You didn't mean to say it, but it wrecked somebody's future. You didn't mean to say it, but it ruined somebody's reputation. You didn't mean to say it, but it split somebody's church. You didn't mean to say it, but it hurt some preacher's ministry. You didn't mean to say it, but it broke some person's heart. You didn't mean to say it, but it ruined some mother's joy. You didn't mean to say it, but it broke some father's heart. You didn't mean to say it, except you did. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. There's a Father up above who's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Let there never be a person in this church who sits in judgment against any other Bible-believing church. Let there never be a person in Hiles Anderson College, or Hammond Baptist High School, or grade school, or faculty member, or staff member. Let it never be said across this pulpit a bad word about any man of God who's sincere and loves God. Maybe he's softer when he preaches than I am. Maybe he's not as loud as I am, who is. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's sort of dry. I don't care. If he believes this book and loves the souls of men and belongs to the body of Christ and has been called of God to preach the gospel, far be it from me to pull his hand down. Far be it from me to trip him while he's running. Far be it from me to cause him to stumble in the race. Far be it from me to try to destroy the unity of the body. God pity you teenagers that criticize each other. And God pity you ladies that get on your telephones and make nothing but septic tanks out of them and toilets out of them, wherever filth can go from place to place and where all the rot of the neighborhood is given from your mouth and you spread all the rumors you can spread. God pity your pagan, backslidden, heathen heart. Get right with God. Get on your face an old-fashioned mourner's bench and get right with God like any other dirty, crooked sinner ought to do. Away with criticism. Away with gossip. Away with backbiting. Away with slander. Away with sitting in the seat of the scornful. God didn't give you that tongue to talk bad about others with. The reason God gave you a tongue and didn't give it to a dog, I wish he had it in some cases. Maybe he did in some cases. The reason God gave you a tongue where you can speak and be understood is that you might legibly praise the name of God and let other people know of his wonderful grace and salvation. Oh, the unity of the Spirit. Why? We have the same enemy, that's why. The same enemy. And there's a third reason. We have a common destination, bless God. I don't like you. You better learn to. You got to put up with me for a long, long time. Yeah. Can you imagine walking down the streets in heaven and not speaking to somebody? You think it's going to be a Southern Baptist heaven and an Independent Baptist heaven and a Conservative Baptist heaven and a Bible Baptist Fellowship heaven? I don't think so. It's going to tickle a fire out of me when we get to heaven. And some of those Southern Baptists move their membership to my church up there, and Jesus makes them grant letters to us. What kind of Christianity is it? What kind of Christianity is it that divides the body of Christ? We must live in the same town one day. We must go through the same gates of pearl. We must walk the same golden streets. We must adore the same Savior. We must sing the same songs. We must serve the same God. We must shout the same praises. And then let us get ready for it. A lot of you folks are not going to enjoy heaven for a long time because you've got to use your tongue and say, "Amen!" Everybody's going to be a loud mouth, Hal Anderson, student in heaven. Everybody is. "I don't believe it!" Well, you just wait, you little sissy. You just wait. You Episcopalian, you wait. You wait. Don't you tell me. Don't you tell me. When we see his hands and see those scars, don't you tell me that saved Episcopalians aren't going to shout. And all those saved Catholics, you didn't get saved because you went to communion. You didn't get saved because you took a sacrament. But all the Catholic people that somehow got the gospel and got born again. We had one saved this morning. And he was so happy he went outside. He was smiling and did this as he went out. Now, I think he meant well. You really get saved. Oh, time. Don't you tell me you're going to look in the face of the one who gave his life for you and left heaven and came to earth and lived 33 homesick years away from the Father and went to Calvary, had no place to lay his head. His foxes had holes and birds had nests, and he had no place to lay his head. And he who was the King of Glory had no throne but a cross, and no crown but a crown of thorns, and no scepter but a barbed walking stick, and no royal robe but an old soldier's overcoat, and no subjects but a jeering mob, and no sign but a hand-painted sign saying, "This is the King of the Jews." Don't you tell me you're going to look at him face to face and see the living, risen Christ in all his glory. Shoot. So you folks are asleep now. Going to stay awake 3 minutes and shout. You know that? Before you go back to sleep. Blessed be God. I'm saying we're going to the same place. Our future's the same. Our heaven's the same. You wait. You just wait. You just wait, Brother McComas, till those little brothers of yours and that mother of yours and those two little sisters of mine. I was thinking a while ago as you're speaking, I didn't realize, never thought of this, Mother, but you know of our family, half of our immediate family is gone. I never thought of that till tonight. I never thought of that. 4 children, 2 of them gone. 2 parents, 1 of them gone. I never thought of that. It suddenly hit me. Oh, you just wait. You just wait. The other day I went out to the grave of Mr. Salee and prayed out there for a while. In fact, a couple of days I did. And I got thinking, what, wouldn't it be good if the Lord came back right now? And over here is Mr. Foreman's grave. Well, Mr. Foreman's grave stayed there a little while and then knelt on Mr. Salee's grave and prayed, "Oh, Lord, I wish you'd come back." I'm not an emotional person. I'm not really either. So I guess something makes me emotional. No, I wouldn't be emotional either when I'm criticizing all the time. Right. Glory to God, I hate Vineyard. No, you won't say that. No. No, sir. never was a praising tongue and a gossiping tongue in the same mouth. Never was. Never was. Oh, listen, the unity of the body of Christ. Why? We have a common destination. But you say, "Well, higher. I'm easily offended." Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But you say, "His dog dug up my flower bed." Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But she stole my boyfriend. You better thank God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But she sings in the choir. She teaches my child. I'm in the audience. I got to look in the choir. She teaches my child. She taught my child in English last semester. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But that little sawed-off front right there kicked my boy out of school. Great peace have they which love thy law, and sawed-off front shall not offend them.
That guy right there, that guy, that little old lady fellow right there weighs 92.5 pounds, dripping wet and full of bananas with lead in his pocket. He came out on her. We gave a $10,000 to Hiles Anderson College, and I was here when my kid was born. My brother was in that nursery. He's been here about 3 years. He dared to give 25 to marriage to my precious daughter.
Great peace have they with love thy law, and ignorant professors will not offend them. Oh, listen to me. If we could learn that one verse and make it our last verse, it could change any church in America. It'll wreck you of sleep. It'll save you from sleepless nights and save you from a guilty conscience.
Listen, nothing
shall offend those that love the Word of God. Ah, the peace of God dwells in the breast of everyone who loves this blessed book, and nothing shall offend them. But you say it's his fault.
Nothing
shall offend them. But you say he's wrong.
Nothing
shall offend them. But you say I was done dirty.
Nothing
shall offend them. But you say he was unkind.
Nothing
shall offend them. But you say he didn't speak.
Nothing
shall offend them. But you say I hate it.
Nothing
shall offend them. But you say he spit at me.
Nothing
shall offend them. But you say he spread rumors about me.
Nothing
shall offend them.
Nothing.
Nothing. And that word Greek, that nothing in the Greek means nothing.
Nothing. I'm not going to have a college that sets out and criticizes preachers across America.
Our homiletics class in our college, we don't allow the homiletics professors and the students to discuss the sermon someone preaches on chapel concerning the outline and how good the sermon was outlined and how good the point of contact was. We're not going to have that kind of garbage in our college. If we talk about a sermon on chapel, we're going to go to the class and we're going to say, bless God for that sermon. If he said, I have did and I done, we'll bless God he's did and he's done. And he done. If he says, I have seen, I saw and I seen, we're going to bless God he's seen and has saw. If he says, I have sang, we're just going to thank God he sang.
10,000 times rather hear a double negative than to hear a negative double. 10,000 times do they hear, see a hanging participle or a spit infinitive. You spit infinitives?
Probably just did.
10,000 times do they use an adverb when I should use an adjective.
And to use proper grammar and sit in the seat of the scornful and look down my nose at somebody because he's not as educated as learned or because he doesn't do it exactly like I do.
Oh, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Let us all promote the unity of the Spirit. But that isn't all. We have the common destination. We have a common enemy, but bless God, we have a common Father. Now, I'm a father, and often, I probably shouldn't say this, it embarrasses them. And I'm sure that Linda and Cindy, Linda is 18, Cindy is 16 this week, and I'm sure that they fuss with each other. I'm sure they've had their fusses, but I can say this honestly and truthfully. I have never heard with these ears Linda Hiles and Cindy Hiles speak an unkind word to each other. And that pleases me so much. Last night, Linda said to Cindy, Cindy was sick, and Linda said to Cindy, I miss you. I miss you. And they love to be together. And they enjoy it. And sometimes, if one of them's a little later getting home than another thinks she ought to be, she'll pace the floor. The other night, Cindy said, Linda ought to be home. And I said, well, it's not, maybe not quite there, yeah, but she ought to be home. And she was nervous. And when the door opened and Linda came in, Cindy's face brightened up. Why? Because they're sisters, and sisters ought to love each other. And the joy that the Father has when I see them, as they love each other and get along together. And I want my Father to look down on me. And I want my Father to say, my children get along with each other. And I don't want the Father to have to be grieved because Jack Hiles, one of his children, can't get along with others of his children. Let me say this. I doubt if you'll find in America a group of men who love each other as much as the men on this platform love each other.
They're not perfect.
To my knowledge, of all the men up here, only one is perfect, and humility would prevent me from telling you who it is. But I know this, and you men know this is true. You know it's true. When God looks down from heaven, I think He's pleased with the way we love each other here on our staff. I think the Lord's pleased with our deacons' meetings. Old John Finn is a little cantankerous and hard to get along with, but I think the Lord's pleased. I think He is. I think the Lord is pleased that night when John Finley stood up here, weighed about 280 at the time, and was going to sing. I said, "Come on, Slim, and sing." He said, "Thank you, Bushy. I'll be glad to." And I think the Lord is pleased with that. Somebody, "I don't believe in that in church." I wouldn't either if I was in your shape. But bless God, some of us haven't got what you got. We didn't drink persimmon soup for supper before we came to church tonight. Bless God. There's something beats in our breast that you don't know anything about, you see. And I'm saying that God is pleased, the same Father. And I want the Father to look down and say, "My children love each other there at First Baptist." Folks, listen to me. If we ever need to stick together, it's now. If we ever did. And if you ladies, some of you ladies who've worn grooves in your telephone where your hot breath has made a groove right down the middle, why don't you just call a moratorium for a few weeks till this is all over? And that's what I'll do. I'll make a list of all the faults of all of us on the platform. And you wait till January the 2nd and think, if I give you a list of all, think how much fun you can have all of January, you dirty, long-tongued, pagan, heathen, gossip, church splitter, sending souls to hell, breaking folks' hearts, ruining the confidence that your own children have in God's man. Some cases. It's not the young people sometimes that lose their confidence in Dr. Billings. It's the moms and dads with their long, forked tongues at home. It's not the young folks that lose their confidence in Dave Hiles. It's the long, forked, say, serpentine tongues at home. It's not the young people lose their confidence in Brother Vineyard. It's the long, hissing, gossiping tongues at home. Garbage! Fill! Away with it! That doesn't please God. I'm saying all the enemies, let them criticize. Let them cuss us on the outside, but let us not cuss each other. Let them criticize us on the outside, but let's not criticize each other. I'm convinced of this. I sat there tonight and this morning listening to Dr. McComas, and I take his comments about me as being honest and sincere. And if they are, he has a great respect for me, and I assure him that respect is reciprocated. Reciprocated is a Greek word that means we both have it each for the other. And it's reciprocated. And I was listening to him speak, and I thought, there he's got an eighth grade education. I've been to college and seminary, and I don't even know some of the words he uses. Oh, shut up. But I don't even know some of the words he uses. If you ever have you been to all the zoos and seen all the laughing hyenas, and you might go to the Fisk House and save the trip next time. But I'm saying this, and I believe this. Preacher boys, I want you to hear me now, especially. I believe one of the great reasons why God has seen fit to use this simple little voice and these stuttering lips and this uneloquent tongue, because most of the years, well, in fact, nobody in this church can stand up and say that you've heard me from this pulpit be critical of God's men. Amen. You know, I can't sing like some. I cannot preach like most. But I can love as much as anybody can love. The unity of the Spirit. And there's another reason. We have a common body. I mean, that by that, we all baptized in the same body. Tonight in Cairo, Egypt, or sometime today, whenever it's night there in Cairo, Egypt, that little church where I preach one night is having services. And that humble little preacher standing up in that little room in Cairo, Egypt tonight. And one fella got saved, Egyptian fella got saved, had a thing on his head, and he was a Mohammedan, and he got saved where I preached that night. And he went out and said in his own language to the pastor, he said something and did like this, and smiled sweetly as he got saved. Don't forget, because while I was preaching, I had the last water out here, and of course I knocked the water over and baptized the fellow before he got saved. And he's sitting right on the front, that old man, a man up in his 70s, the pastor said, "You know what he said?" I said, "What did he say?" He said in his own language, he said, "When Heil speaks, heart burns inside. Heart feels warm inside when Heil speaks." That little group of Christians over there meeting tonight, maybe 80 or 90. Did you know I need every one of them? As much as my head needs my feet, as much as my fingers need my toes, as much as my ears need my stomach, as much as my knee needs my elbow, as much as my liver needs my kidneys, as much as the big parts of my body need the parts whose names I do not even know. Even so, I need those dear saints over there. You say, "How do you need them?" I don't know how I need them, but we're in the same body, and since we're in the same body, I need them some way. Tonight, over in Jerusalem, a little church, I preached up in the attic in Jerusalem, up on the second floor of a building, and had five adults saved that night when I preached there. And tonight, that little group of Christians is huddled there meeting in Jerusalem. And God bless them. I need them. I don't understand why, but I need them. And down in Jamaica tonight, some dark Christians down there in that little church way out in the country on the side of a mountain. And the simple little church with lizards on the walls. And at one time a snake crawled up inside the building and spiders on the seats and so forth. And those little Christians down there, I will forget when I heard them singing the first time. And they're meeting tonight. And they don't have a piano maybe. And they don't have an organ. And they don't have any electric lights. And yet they're meeting tonight and they're singing the same songs that we sing and praising the same God that we praise. I need those dark folks tonight. They're members of the same body with me. Down in Barbados, where I preached a few times, they're meeting down there tonight, and I need them. And all over the world where I've preached God's people. I don't know the folks in India who meet in little meetings tonight, but I know I need them. We're members of the same body. And you listen to me. Any time you criticize one of God's people, I don't care how bad he is, you're guilty of hurting yourself. I got this idea one time. You know, if I criticize somebody, if I criticize 10 people who do one-tenth of what I do, I completely neutralize all the good that I do. You hear that? And there are ladies in this room tonight whom I love, and other than having tongues that are about 20 feet long, and you would put them on the altar, but the altar is not big enough. Other than that, you're good ladies. You say you're criticizing me. You're the one that said it, sweetheart. I didn't point out anybody. But I mean, if Cinderella, you might try the shoe on and just see. And but I'm trying to say that you're good. Teach Sunday school class, maybe. Or maybe you're going to have a bus route. And maybe do some good. But what the good you do is neutralized because you're paralyzing somebody else who's doing what you're doing. Find a drop of water glittering in the rainbow or rippling in the brook or lying silent in a stagnant pond or dazzling against the vessel's side or leaping over the falls. It matters not where that drop of water is. If it's a drop of the mighty Niagara Falls tonight or if it's a little drop in a stagnant pool somewhere in South Hammond, or if it's a little drop of water flowing down the little Calumet River out here between Hammond and Munster, or if it's a drop of water dashing against a vessel at sea, or if it's a drop of water falling from the sky and bouncing off the pavement, that little drop of water has exactly the same chemical content with every other drop of water in the whole world. And it doesn't matter where the Christian is, he has the same Savior, the same Holy Spirit, the same blood that goes through his veins, the same heaven as his home, the same forgiveness, the same redemption, the same regeneration, the same salvation, the same Father, the same Holy Spirit, the same Bible, the same destination, the same blessed hope. That none of us criticize those in our own body. Ladies and gentlemen, I say it again. We cannot be defeated at First Baptist Church from without. May I take just a few moments to recount a few things. 16 years ago tonight, a battle. Some of the most influential people in this area set themselves against me and against this work. But the church rolled on.
Amen.
And then we finally got out of it and built a new building over here. And one morning, a fire came and destroyed half of our buildings. And a brand new building, 3 months old to the day over here. Can you imagine a fire raging over here next door? And can you see the firemen as they came that night, during the night, and I saw them 3 months to the day from the day we dedicated our new building, take their axes and knock holes, big holes this big around, in the walls of our building. And I walked on our new carpet. We'd paid thousands and thousands of dollars for it. Walked on our new carpet, and water was that high on the carpet, and smoke was everywhere, and the walls were dirty. And the next day we had to meet with God blessed with a Charlie Hand. I'll never forget him for what he did in those days. And we met the nurseries out in the hallway. Didn't even have a room for nurseries. Had to put the nurseries out in the hallway. And all the rest of us came in the auditorium and put a plastic cover down the aisles. And we worked so hard and given so much to make the new building a reality. And now smoke, damage, and two of our buildings destroyed. But the church rolled on.
Amen.
The church rolled on. And enemy after enemy. And yet the church rolled on.
Amen.
Criticism. And gossip and slander and unkind words, and I've been spat upon and cursed on the street and everything else, and things I won't even tell you, and yet the church rolled on.
Amen.
And Mr. Salee was taken, and yet the church rolled on. And the $2.5 million lawsuit is against us right now, and yet the church rolled on. And one of our fellows at the college, you recall, I was beaten and left, they thought, I guess, for dead all night. And got a security guard. And yet the church rolled on, and the boy's okay now. And yet the church rolled on. And somebody shot at one of our school buses, and yet the church rolled on. And somebody tried to attack our two daughters, and yet the church rolled on. And on I could go and tell you how the devil has launched the attack over and over and over again. But I want to serve notice to all of our enemies tonight. It doesn't matter what you do to First Baptist Church, Hammond, brother. You're not going to destroy us from without. I suggest how you do it. Hey, you enemies! Let me tell you how to do it. You go to our people and try to spread rumors about other members of the church. That's the way you do it.
That's right.
That's the way you do it. And then if we get to where we don't love each other, we criticize each other. And the high school doesn't love the college, and the college doesn't appreciate the grade school. And the bus minister doesn't like the youth ministry, and the youth minister doesn't like the college. And the church staff doesn't like the college staff. And the WMS doesn't like the choir, and the choir doesn't like the college choir. Then the college D-Club doesn't like the college trio, and the college trio doesn't like the college quartet. And little things, just nitpicking, little bit here, and what don't you say tonight? God being my helper, I'll never let an unkind word flow through these lips about any one of God's children. And if we'll do that and keep the unity of the Spirit, promote it between the churches, between the schools, between the preachers, and inside these four walls, all the demons in hell can't block this church.
Amen.
No. Are you guilty? College student, what did you say about somebody this week? Huh? Going to be a preacher. Not much of one. Not much of one. Going to be a school teacher. Not much of one. your time never is used of God and do any great, great and mighty work. High school student, what have you said about a teacher?
Deacon? Choir member? Deacon's wife? Grade school? High school faculty? Employees? Youth ministry? Bus ministry?
Did you know if you've been using your tongue, listen, and I'll close. If you've been using your tongue to criticize, you are as guilty as a prostitute in Calumet City. Why? You, like that prostitute, have taken a portion of your body and used it for that purpose that God never intended. And you, like the prostitute, need to hit the old-fashioned mourner's bench and get right with God. Well, be careful, little Tom, what you say. Well, be careful, little Tom, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Well, be careful, little Tom, what you say. May we use our tongues to promote the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight I want to thank you for every faithful preacher of the Word of God who's standing in the pulpit or sitting at home tonight after a weary, busy day with a weary body, tired soul, and in some cases a discouraged spirit. I want to thank you for every sister church in this area, those that are a few hundred yards from where I'm standing right now, those that work the same fields, knock on the same doors. I want to thank you for every church in this area and around the world that proclaims the message of hope. I want to thank you for every school. God, give us more schools like Tennessee Temple, Bob Jones University, Baptist University of America, Liberty Baptist College, Midwestern Baptist College, Maranatha Baptist College, and Trinity Baptist College in Jacksonville. And, Lord, you know there are dozens of others. Give us more schools like that.
Amen.
And I pray you enlarge our hearts. And, dear Lord, look down upon us and be pleased to see us loving each other. Be pleased to see us leaving empty the seat of the scornful, and help us to promote the unity of the Spirit. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, God has spoken to my heart in some way tonight. I feel tonight that I've been guilty of something that would not please God. Something has come through my lips that would not be pleasing to my Lord. Brother Hiles, God has spoken to me tonight, and I need to set some things straight. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all across the building? Just lift your hand all over the building. God bless you.